This is the Archaeology News Weekly, and I'm David Connolly. This news is brought to you in partnership between Stone Pages and the British Archaeological Jobs and Resources website. All the stories have been collected from various sources, and to view details in each story, including the source, please see the Stone Pages website at news.stonepages.com. Now, the main headlines from around the world are as follows. Ancient mounds in Florida are looted in search of pirate gold. Graves of the Pacific's first seafarers are revealed in Vanuatu. A new giant picture is found on Peru's Nazca Plateau. The study of human migration over 60,000 years is the subject of a conference in South Africa. And the Bosnian dig finds evidence of Europe's first pyramid. A 3,000-year-old roundhouse is found in Norfolk in England, and ancient earthworks are rebuilt in virtual reality in America. Beheaded skeletons show part of China's warring past, and prehistoric finds are unearthed in Wyoming. Under the supervision of cultural resource specialist Chuck Blanchard, five rangers spent a day restoring an Indian mound in Florida in the USA, where Native Americans had lived from 500 BCE until contact with the Europeans in the early 16th century. Blanchard stated that if we treat national monuments like national monuments, we're likely to get less site vandalism. People were drawn to the site by stories of pirate José Gaspar, who, according to legend, buried much of his ill-gotten gains in Indian mounds around Charlotte Harbour. There's only one problem, though. José Gaspar never existed. But some people believed the tales and then began searching for their fortune by ripping up many of the area's cultural monuments. Looters have ravaged southwest Florida's prehistoric sites for other reasons as well, including lightning whelks, which are sold on the Asian market and turned into devotional candles. There is not one site that has not been badly damaged. Restoring a shell mound is hard work and hot work. First, the bottom of the pit has to be packed with 2 tons of sand. Then comes the back-breaking work of filling in the rest of the pit with shell, breaking up the piles left by looters with pickaxes and then shoveling them back in. Finally, the mound looks almost whole again. Digging these mounds is a desecration. People get gold fever and will do anything for the mighty dollar. Greed and ignorance once again. Little has been known about the Lapita people, who were the first settlers of the Western Pacific, other than the red pottery fragments with intricate designs. But in what's been hailed as one of the most dramatic finds in years, researchers at the Indo-Pacific Prehistory Association Congress in Manila offered a glimpse of the first known early Lapita cemetery. The graves at Efate on the Vanuatu Islands are estimated to be 3,000 years old, around the time that the Lapita people began crossing the Pacific from New Guinea's Bismarck Archipelago before fanning out as far as Samoa and Tonga. The site reveals unknown facets of their burial customs, and DNA from bones may offer clues to their origins. Since the first Lapita ceramics came to light half a century ago, more than 200 sites have been found, but skeletal remains are very rare. Then, just before Christmas in 2003, workers quarrying soil for a prawn farm came across pottery. They showed it to Salcon Yona at the Vanuatu Cultural Centre, who had just been trained in Lapita identification. Yona then consulted archaeologist Stuart Bedford, who, in a stroke of luck, was on the island for a wedding. He confirmed the sherds as early Lapita, and the site near Tuoma Bay was protected. Because so few Lapita burials have been found, the researchers assumed that they were recent graves until paleoanatomy experts confirmed the remains were Lapita. Everywhere they dug, it seemed, was a skeleton. In 2 seasons, they excavated 25 graves containing 36 individuals. All the skeletons, though, were headless, which is a feature of other Pacific cultures, and in some graves, cone shell rings replaced the missing skull, indicating that the graves were reopened after the burial and the heads ceremonially removed. The heads were then reburied, and in one grave, 3 skulls were lined up on the chest of a male skeleton, whose grave was missed by only centimetres by the bulldozers. After excavations this summer, the team hoped to extract DNA from bones to compare with modern populations. In the meantime, Tioma has become the pride of Vanuatu, which has featured its Lapita heritage on a set of postage stamps. A new giant picture on the Nazca Plateau in Peru, which is famous for giant patterns that can be seen from the air, has been discovered by a team of Japanese researchers. The image is 65 metres long and appears to be an animal with horns. It is thought to have been drawn as a symbol of hope for good crops, but there are no similar patterns elsewhere, and the type of animal remains unclear. The discovery marks the first time since the 1980s that a picture other than a geometrical pattern has been found on the Nazca Plateau. The picture was found by a team of researchers, including Masato Sakai, an associate professor at Yamagata University, after they analysed images from a US commercial satellite. There is evidence that vehicles had driven in the area, and part of the picture is destroyed. Two parts of the image that appear to be horns bear close resemblance to those that appear on earthenware dating from around 100 BCE to 600 CE, during the time when the Nazca Kingdom flourished. The research team will use images from the Advanced Land Observing Satellite, which was launched by the Japan Aerospace Exploration Agency in January this year, to create a distribution map of images on the Earth that can be seen from the air. A project investigating human migration over the last 60,000 years will be discussed at a conference in South Africa next month. The Genographic Project will take DNA samples from 100,000 people belonging to indigenous populations around the world. The hope is to demonstrate the migration routes followed by anatomically modern humans as they moved out of Africa, the origins of all humans alive today, and as they spread across the world. The Genographic Project is a joint effort by the National Geographic Society, the Waite Family Foundation and IBM. The director of the project, Dr. Spencer Wells, said that before this project began, only about 10,000 people had been tested for genetic markers, meaning that population geneticists and other scientists only had the bare-bones picture of human migration. As to whether human populations had not become so mixed by migration, especially in the last 200 years, that a clear picture could not be obtained, Wells said that they will focus on indigenous people who may have been isolated for some considerable time and also may retain genetic patterns more consistent with what they will see in the ancestors. The conference will begin on the 8th of May at the Maropeng Conference Centre at the Cradle of Humankind near Johannesburg. The conference, which is to review progress since the launch of the project almost exactly a year ago in Washington DC, is not open to the public, but it will be followed on Thursday, the May the 11th in Cape Town by two events at the V&A waterfront. The first is an academic discussion open to interested researchers, and the second a public lecture to be held in the evening. To continue last week's story on the European Pyramid, researchers unearthed geometrically cut stone slabs that they said could form part of the sloping surface of what they believe is an ancient pyramid lying beneath a huge hill. Archaeologists and other experts began digging at the central Bosnian town last week to explore their team leader's theory that a 2,120-foot hill covers a huge step pyramid, which would be the first ever found in Europe. Semir Osmanagic, a Bosnian archaeologist who studied the pyramids of Latin America for the last 15 years, said that the stonework found on Wednesday was of a surface which was perfectly flat, and this is a crucial material proof. Osmanagic believes the structure will prove to be 722 feet high, or a third taller than Egypt's Great Pyramid of Giza. The huge stone blocks recently discovered appear to be cut in cubes and polished. Early research on the hill, known as Visočica, found that it had a 45-degree slope pointing towards the cardinal points and had a flat top. Under layers of dirt, workers discovered a paved entrance plateau, entrances to tunnels and large stone blocks. The work at Visočica, about 20 miles northwest of Sarajevo, will continue for about 6 months. It will be a very exciting archaeological spring and summer, Osmanagic said, and we will keep you informed of this possibly remarkable discovery. Evidence of a roundhouse that could be up to 3,000 years old has been uncovered near the North Sea coast in Norfolk in England. The site in Lowestoft has revealed finds from the Bronze Age and Iron Age, including a decorated 5-centimetre plaque made from jet. Archaeologists working on the 1-hectare parcel of industrial land found an enclosure surrounded by ditches and probably used to house an extended family. Experts from Suffolk County Council's archaeological field team moved on to the Haddenham Road site while planning permission was being sought to turn it into a new household waste centre for Lowestoft. After taking away the topsoil, the team started to dig trenches in February. The settlement is thought to date back to between 500 and 1000 BCE and is hoped that detailed examination of the finds could reveal much more. Later Bronze Age and Early Iron Age evidence was found, including the roundhouse, which is about 8 to 9 metres across. The whole enclosure is around 20 metres across and probably represents the farmhouse of an extended family. The finds follow the discovery of flint tools at nearby Pakefield that revealed man was living in northern Europe 700,000 years ago and 200,000 years earlier than had been previously thought. Native American cultures that once flourished in Ohio, Kentucky, Indiana, and western Virginia constructed geometric and animal-shaped earthworks. A few are still extant, such as the Serpent Mounds in Adam County in Ohio, but most of the region's ancient architecture was destroyed. Earthworks from as early as 600 BCE that stretched over miles and rose to heights of up to 15 feet or more were either quarried away or ploughed in the 19th century or paved over for development in the 20th. Now, this lost heritage from the Adena, Hopewell and Fort Ancient Cultures is returning in the form of a travelling exhibition that will include virtual reconstructions of earthworks from 39 sites. The digital reconstructions represent nearly 10 years of work by a team of architects, archaeologists, historians, technical experts and Native Americans. The project director is John Hancock, Professor of Architecture at the University of Cincinnati, working in partnership with the Center for the Reconstruction of Historical and Archaeological Sites at the University of Cincinnati. The title of the project and the coming traveling exhibition is Earthworks, Virtual Explorations of the Ancient Ohio Valley. The exhibit opens on the 20th of June at the Cincinnati Museum Center, and it remains at the museum until the September the 7th. Later venues include the Ohio Historical Center in Columbus, which opens on September the 30th. Chinese archaeologists have unearthed some 30 beheaded skeletons dating back more than 2,000 years in central China's Henan province. The human remains were found scattered in a pit in the city of Xinjiang, adjacent to a major battlefield where the Han state was overthrown towards the end of the Warring States period of 475 to 221 BCE. Archaeologists are working hard to collect and preserve the site as an expressway will soon start to be built there. The skeletons must have belonged to soldiers of the Han, and their heads were likely taken by victorious Qin warriors who intended to receive promotion based on the number of enemy troops that they had killed. Some of the skeletons still show evidence of being slashed by swords. This is the first such site in China to be discovered, and is a graphic reminder of the cruelty of war as it was fought over 2,000 years ago. Copper coins spotted close to the skeletons also indicate that the massacre occurred sometime around 230 BCE, the year that Xinjiang, the founding emperor of the imperial Qin dynasty, conquered the Han. Xinjiang was known to be the first man to unite the whole of China, but he was also known as a bloodthirsty and merciless ruler who ordered the massacre of countless soldiers and civilians. A preliminary report on an archaeological dig concludes that Hell's Half Acre in Wyoming, USA, was home to prehistoric American Indians at least 1,200 years ago and perhaps as long as 8,000 years ago. John Albanese, chairman of the Natrona County Historic Preservation Society, told Natrona County commissioners that archaeological evidence shows Indians were hunting bison at Hell's Half Acre between 1,200 and 3,000 years ago, and that some evidence appeared to be much, much older. Albanese was hired by the county to conduct an archaeological dig on Hell's Half Acre. He said he hoped to have his final report completed later this year. His research so far indicates the area was populated by small bands of 20 to 30 people, probably a family or clan group during the summer, with bands coming together into groups of 200 to 300 during the winter. These larger groups would then herd bison through the arroyos to Hell's Half Acre and then drive them over the cliffs to their deaths, providing meat for the winter. Once again, can I remind people that many new archaeological and heritage employment opportunities, as well as a UK heritage calendar, library and guidance section, can be found on Badger. That's www.bajr.org. And remember that more can be found at Stonepages, news.stonepages.com. Thank you for listening to Archaeology News Weekly, and we'll hope you'll return again next week.